reading for our meditation today is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. Then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith. Amen. Recently, there was a wedding held over in India. They claim it cost over $100 million to put on this wedding. And the invitations that went out for the wedding came in a large golden box and very elaborate. And inside of the box, as you opened it, were various chambers. There was actually a book on the top of it that contained the invitation. And as you opened up the book, the pages would fold out, and there were origami flowers that suddenly were exposed as you went through the invitation. And down below the book, inside of the larger box, was a smaller gift box that contained even smaller little chambers. And inside of those chambers were elaborate pieces of jewelry that you could wear to the wedding. Just looking at it on the internet, I would guess that it probably cost thousands of dollars just for the invitation itself. Quite an elaborate wedding. It was a custom in Jesus' day when you invited someone to a great banquet, especially like a wedding, that the initial invitation would go out, and then the day of the event, you would send a servant out to let everybody know it was time to come. And Jesus uses that picture of an invitation to a great feast to teach us something very important about what takes place in our hearts when God's word and the gospel comes to speak to us and to invite us. And one of the points that he's making here, I always love this parable for me personally because it really makes me stop and examine how I treat his word in my life. My sinful heart has a tendency to downplay the importance and significance of this great invitation that comes to us through the gospel. Now let's think about the excuses that Jesus uses that are given by various people. These are things that if you look at them on the surface, they are good. They're noble things. There's nothing wrong with any of them. Caring about your employment. God has much to say about our vocations in life and how we're supposed to go about our duties. Caring for your property, taking care of our goods and things, there's nothing wrong with that. And marriage, for goodness sakes, God has a lot to say in the Bible about the blessings and wonderful things about marriage. But Jesus uses even these somewhat routine aspects of our day-to-day lives to teach us that even things like this that we just have to take care of in life, all the stuff we have to do in life, can also work against us in this sense that it can cause our hearts to slowly decline or to see less significance in this wonderful invitation that comes to us in the gospel. Just think of the kinds of sorry excuses God is going to hear from people who at one time possessed the gospel. On Judgment Day, the kinds of sorry excuses that God may hear. I know a man that I speak to once in a while who was baptized as a little child, and he was raised in the faith in his childhood, but then rejected Christianity and rejected church. Sounds sometimes like he's even rejected the whole concept of God. But boy, every year he has got to go to Sturgis. He's got to make sure to go to Sturgis. And he can tell me and describe to me how this big picnic that they have is so great, and the food that they eat when they're out there. Just think how stupid and insignificant all of that will be on Judgment Day. Now, before we shake our heads at others in the world, the same thing can happen to us in our hearts as well. I know it can for me. There are so many different ways where I can kind of downplay the significance of the invitation that God gives to me through Christ and through his word and sacrament. The Jews of Jesus' day are a good sort of model or example for us to look at in terms of learning a lesson from this. They had the things of God around them. They had his word. They had the prophets sent to them. They had the tabernacle and temple worship. They had all the right things around them, and yet so many of them ultimately rejected the invitation that came through Christ. All those things that were pointing to that very thing. So they were surrounded by it all. In fact, there's a place in Antioch, we're told this in the book of Acts. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said to a group of the Jewish people, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." The point here is that you can have all this stuff around you and still in our hearts not really pay attention to it. We can go through all the right motions. We can have all the trappings of it around us and yet still cause our hearts to sort of push it away. But the warning Jesus is giving us here is don't mess around with this. The window someday that's presently open for you of the gospel will close if you don't treat this invitation properly. God will finally rescind it. Listen to what he says. The master of the feast says, "I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." And so there's some urgency in Jesus' words for me and for you. And there's a loving warning here. That we are not to push aside God's invitation. Or maybe think to ourselves, well, someday I'll get back to it. Right now, it's maybe not the most important thing to me, but I know it's still important, and someday I'm going to get back to it. Don't gamble with everlasting life and treat God's invitation casually. So he holds out his arms to us, and through his servants he says, "Come, for all things are now ready." Think how weird it would be if you got a wedding invitation that said, "Could you please come 3 hours early to help set up tables and chairs for the reception? Or would you be willing to drive the limousine for the married couple?" When we get invitations to something as a guest, we don't expect to have to do some work in order to be worthy of that invitation. And likewise it is with God. The feast is already set. It's already prepared. What Jesus has done by his death on the cross and by his glorious resurrection, he has completed and finalized everything that needs to be done for you and me to be able to go to heaven. The attainment of heaven is not something that is a partial work that now has to have something additional added by you to make it happen. So don't be afraid that somehow God has a demand that's just hanging out there over your head that you now have to complete and then you can finally come to the banquet. No, he says to you right now, because of what Christ has done, come, for all things are now ready. It's all set. It's all been taken care of. Jesus said, "It is finished," from the cross. And so the Father's heart has turned to the Gentile world. We're told, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Notice the loving magnetic pull of the gospel that comes through the office of the public ministry to call people to the wonderful hope of heaven that we have in Christ. The heart of God towards sinners like us is just speaking to us through that beautiful call of the gospel. Just like the father and the prodigal son looking down the road, waiting for his son in repentance to turn back to him and waiting to run and fall on him with his love. Or the way Jesus treated the adulterous woman, Mary Magdalene. Or the way he talked so tenderly to the thief on the cross. No one is to be considered out of bounds from the reach of God's gospel invitation. No one. And that means even you. No matter what it is in your mind and conscience or in your record of your life that makes you feel like, well, maybe I'm not quite worthy of this invitation. No one is out of bounds for the reach of this beautiful message of Christ. And there will be some surprises in heaven. I remember one day when I was in seminary walking downtown, and there was a park bench, and there were two really, really rough-looking street people sitting on that park bench. And one of the guys was trying to explain to the other guy that you get to heaven only by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And I thought, it'll be fun to see at least one of those two in heaven someday. The invitation comes to us without qualification and without stipulation. The word and sacrament that God puts before us presents to us this beautiful, compelling invitation. I just love that line where God, the master, directs his servants, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That means put urgency into this invitation so people realize this isn't something I should put off in my life. Because this feast that God has prepared, the feast of heaven, is something he doesn't want you to miss. In this feast of the gospel is the cure for your sin, the cure for your upcoming death, the cure for any fear that you might have, the cure of being possibly intimidated by God on the day of judgment. That's all wiped away because of this gracious invitation. And so nothing means more in your life or my life than the importance of being at that supper. So today, you might be walking along on the highway of some guilt about things going on in your life or that have gone on in your life. You might be sitting near the hedge of despair, wondering if you really could someday actually be in heaven. Then especially listen up, because God's invitation is addressed just to you. And he has sent me today through my sinful mouth to deliver it to you directly into your ears and your hearts. And don't delay. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen. And let us rise for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for extending to us this marvelous invitation to come to the feast of salvation through Christ. We thank you for those who proclaim that wonderful truth to us in our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit would go down into our hearts and wake up in us true faith, that we may cling to this wonderful hope that we have in Christ and stay with him throughout our lives so that someday we may enjoy that great feast with all of your saints in the mansions above. We pray it in our Savior's sacred name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.